Amen. Thank you, Brother Chase, and really appreciate Brother Chase. He is such a blessing and just a wonderful assistant. You know, with his credentials, his education, background, the job that he left to come here, I believe Brother Chase easily could be making six figures in the world, and I mean, he could have a very lucrative kind of a position somewhere. A very talented man, and he comes here, and he ran the fair last week, ran a tent in a fair and fair ministry, and just very comfortable serving God in whatever capacity he's asked to, and he'll be in vacation Bible school working and serving the Lord this week, and then we'll start school, and sure appreciate him and the work that he does, and what a blessing, and thank God for the Chases. Well, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 2 Corinthians 10, and we'll begin reading at verse 3, familiar verses talking about war, and that is the theme tonight as we begin our vacation Bible school for our children this week. We had a wonderful time with the shepherds last week, and we always do have a good time. And we saw lots of victories and sang a lot of good songs, and I think pleased the Lord in many, many ways. We certainly did all we could to bring glory to our God, and we want to do the same this week, and certainly as we prepare to observe the Lord's Supper together, the Bible says we are to examine ourselves. And so I trust you'll take this time to let God speak to your heart, and where you can examine yourself, you can make sure things are right between you and the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3, the Bible says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." You'll notice in verse 5, casting down imaginations, bringing into captivity every thought, understanding that the battle, the war that we fight is not a fight of flesh, it is a fight that is a spiritual battle. We set up looking like the military because we understand that kind of a battle. We will have those sorts of things happening throughout the week, and again, illustrating the battle that is a spiritual battle. The Bible says we may walk, though we walk in the flesh, we understand that we do not war after the flesh. We get this idea that, I'm going to wring their neck, or I'm going to, you can certainly think that way, but that's not going to win the spiritual battle that we need to win. Winning the spiritual battle is defeating the devil by winning people to Christ, and defeating the devil by getting our lives right, defeating the devil by praying, defeating the devil by reading our Bibles, defeating the devil by trusting the Lord and having faith in our lives. You say, "Oh, but it's easier to punch somebody. I just want to punch somebody. And I just want to grab somebody and throw them down." I know, because we walk in the flesh. But because we walk in the flesh, God says very clearly, we do not war after the flesh. You may want to punch this guy and punch, I see what the devil's doing, and I'll get his henchmen and I'll knock them. Well, but that's not the battle that we fight. The battle that we fight is a spiritual battle. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so as we illustrate everything with our military, and we're proud of our military. We're not ashamed of the United States of America. We're not ashamed to defend our country, and we're not ashamed of those who do defend our country. And we ought never be. We ought to always be rejoicing and praying for our folks in the military. But understand that our war here, Berean Baptist Church, our war is it's not a physical war. It's a spiritual war. And it must be fought spiritually. I know. I'd like to just get one of those guns and just... I understand that. But what you need to do is you need to learn to trust God and learn to pray and learn to fast. Oh, it's a lot easier shooting a gun than fasting. I understand. I understand. Well, you know, I could throw a grenade. I know it'd be a lot easier to throw a grenade, but maybe you ought to fast and pray and ask God to fill you with his spirit and ask for his power and ask for his wisdom. And that's the battle that we fight. I want to talk to you about two words in verse 4. It says weapons of our warfare. And I have them underlined in my Bible, our warfare. Father, I pray that you will help us tonight to understand our warfare and understand that we are at war and that our battle is a very, very important battle. It may be the most important battle that any of us ever are involved in. It is a battle against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness and the world and the flesh and the devil. And Lord, it seems like it might be easier to get in a tank and be able to shoot or fly a bomber and drop bombs. And yet, God, our war is not like that. And it often isn't very easy. And we need to trust you. And we're so much used to our flesh. And we need to get used to living in the Spirit. And so help us to understand our warfare tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, folks, we are at war. We are at war. You'd never know it by so much casual Christianity today, but we're at war. Ephesians 6, very, very clear. Here in this passage, it says it's not a battle of flesh and blood, but it also says that in Ephesians 6, we're not fighting a flesh and blood battle. That's why sometimes we have a hard time recognizing that we're at war. That's how sometimes Christians fall asleep to the fact there is a spiritual battle going on. It's going on for Lenawee County. It is a spiritual warfare going on for Adrian. It is spiritual warfare. All you had to do is spend just a little time at the fair, and you'd see the spiritual warfare that's raging all around. Oh, preacher, people are having a good time. People are doing this and doing that and just enjoying them. You're missing it. That is the war right there. The battle is people shouldn't be just having a good time. God's people ought to be winning the loss at any cost. God's people ought to be praying and fasting and doing all we can to win this spiritual battle. But if we don't win our own spiritual battles in our own life, if we don't grow in the Lord, do you know every one of us ought to be growing every day? The Bible says, let us go on. Let's get past the elementary stage of our Christian life and let's grow and let's just keep growing. But it's a battle. We've talked about it. Talked about the flesh and how the flesh is constantly after us to drag us down and to keep us from growing. And how Amalek, a type of the flesh, was attacking the weakness. And when you're tired and all that, and just constantly. But if we're casual and we don't recognize this is a battle. If we don't recognize it, our military, they go out there, and I was talking to Craig and just kind of watching some of the video, and it's amazing some of the equipment that's out there. What's that for? That's war. Millions of dollars are spent on that equipment. I think of, the guns that we have. Now, these guns weren't that expensive, but certainly not like real ones. They're not real ones. But you think about the equipment to go out and fight a war. And you think about all that's involved in that. And I think God's people need to realize that's why we do Bible school the way we do. That's why we're not just feeding a little Kool-Aid and some cookies and telling the cute little story. We spend extra because we're at war. We're at war. We're in a battle. We're in a battle that the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. And so we need to understand our warfare. And I want to show you several things about our warfare tonight, and I kind of got into some of them here. And just some thoughts. Number one is the attitude. It's so important that we get this, the attitude. And that is this. It's a war. It's a war. Christianity, it's the most fun life a person can have. I mean that with all my heart. I have more fun than lost people possibly can have. Now, they think they're having a good time, and I understand that. And the world thinks they're having a good time. I'm having a good time. But I do know this. I know we're at war. And it isn't always going to be fun when there's war. It's not always games. It's not always a Sunday school picnic. It's not always a social fun time. We're at war. Much of my day is spent plotting and planning and trying to figure out, okay, what are we going to do because of the war that we're in? It's looking at like a general would look at a map and trying to decide what's the best course to win this battle. What's the best way we'll win this battle? It's a family coming in and saying, Pastor, how can we win this battle? It's a young person coming in and saying, I need help winning my battle. And it's constant because this is a war. It's a war for marriage. It's a war for the home. It's a war for Sunday school. It's a war for the altar call. It's a war for baptisms. It's a war for soul winning. It's a war for people getting saved. It's a war for the fair ministry. It's a war for the shepherd's ministry. It's a war that we have got to understand that we are in the midst of. We're at war. And you know, when there's war, there's fighting. Again, we want flesh and blood. I want to hear that smack, you know. I want to hear that punch land, you know. But that's not the battle we fight. That's why it's so hard for us to understand. It's an invisible war that is going on around us. It is our duty to fight that war. It is my duty to fight. We have to have the right attitude. You know, war is two sides and both want to win. It amazes me how we seem to think the devil is, he's just kind of half in, half out. He's all in. He's all in. He's ruthless. He's scheming. He's dirty. The wiles of the devil, he's tricky. He's deceitful. And in this war, you have to understand, he is out to win his war. I talk in our Revelation class, and it amazes me how the Battle of Armageddon, men will actually think, they will actually believe, they will actually gather at Armageddon, and they will believe they can actually fight against God. You say, how dumb could they? Wait a minute. But in our own lives, we fight against God. Why would we be shocked that a bunch of unsaved, unrepentant, in fact, the Bible says at that time they will be blaspheming God. Why would we think somehow they would have a fear of God if God's people don't have a fear of God? And if God's people don't have respect enough to know that the devil's their enemy and they're not willing to fight against the devil, you know, war is two sides and both of them want to win. I guarantee the devil wants to win. I promise you the devil is trying to win, and he really believes he can win. You'd think he knows better. He knows what the Bible says, but he wants to win. And he's going to take as many with him as he can. And you have enemies like the world, cosmos. Again, not people out there, but the cosmos, the system that hates God. The world, the flesh, that's our own flesh, that's us. And the devil. And I'm going to tell you, those, they are allied together, and we aren't allied together. We need to understand and get the right attitude. This is war. And we don't have time, seriously, we don't have time to have a political thing like Vietnam was. There's no time. You know, we just need to fight the good fight of faith. In our war, there is no room for discussion. I love the story of Pharaoh and trying to talk Moses into compromise, you know? Okay, Moses, okay, look, I understand you turned the water into blood. I understand you brought on the frogs, and I understand, but listen, here, listen. I'll let you go, but don't go too far. There's no time to talk. Moses, just knock him upside the head and say, let my people go. No time to talk. All right. I understand. Look, just you go, but leave the women and children. Oh, Satan would love us to leave the women and children to him. He'd love that. By the way, a lot of adults have left their children. They've just pretty much let their children go. sad in our world today. I'm talking about Christians. Leave the women and children. You can go worship your God, but leave your women and children. No time to talk, devil. No time to talk. Where you are the enemy, there's nothing to say. He may wave his white flag. Look, listen to me. We read the Bible. He's the enemy. He's a bad guy. Give him a right cross with your Bible. Resist the devil and he will flee. That's all that works. Amen. Nothing else works. And so Pharaoh, go ahead, go worship, but leave all your animals. Tough to offer a sacrifice without your animals, wouldn't it be? So what's he saying? He's saying, go ahead and worship God, just don't have a sacrifice. And I got news for you. The devil, he doesn't care if you go to church. He doesn't want you ever to make any kind of sacrifice. And again, casual Christianity today, where pastors get up and holler and scream and yell, hey, we need to do this, we need to do this, we need... Oh, come on, don't you understand? I got other things, too many other things to do. It's war. It's war. Satan always is looking for us to talk and to compromise and to waste time talking about this, talking about that. Look, the enemy is the enemy. He's evil. He's bad. I kind of like old Shema when the Philistines tried to take over the garden. And he stood in the middle and he said, you're not going to have the garden. It's God's. And he stood and he fought. There was nothing to talk about. There was not, here's a tomato. All right, here's some celery. Okay, here's some beans. There was none of that. He said, this is God's. You can't have it. We need God's people to say, I'm going to stand, and this is God's, and you can't have it. You just can't have it. There's too much compromise, too much discussion. Look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 3. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3. The Bible says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And I'm afraid we're too entangled with the affairs of this life where we say, but if I fight that, it's going to affect me. Well, if I stand, somebody's not going to like it. Well, if I do this and I keep doing this, somebody's going to be offended. Can you imagine in World War II, D-Day? Well, if I charge at that beach, somebody's going to be upset. Oh, well, if I throw this grenade, there's going to be a few folks get upset about that. You know why nobody said that, nobody thinks that, and we all kind of think that's ridiculous? Because it was war. Amen. This is war. Amen. This is war. And we need to have the right attitude that this is war. The Bible says, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. As a good what? Soldier. Not a vacationer, but a soldier. We have to endure some hardness because it's our warfare. And so the attitude is so important. Number two is the adversaries. And I've already told you, there is an enemy, the world, the flesh, the devil. The devil is a liar. The devil is an angel. He appears as an angel of light. He's our adversary. The Bible says he's the accuser of the brethren. He accuses you. He hates you. He's as a roaring lion. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. If he could devour you, he will. Understand, the adversaries, they are not going to give you any room. They are not going to let up and back off. Your flesh doesn't back off, does it? Those temptations, the lusts of the flesh, it's just constantly there. You say, and I know, I counsel with folks all that I just can't wait till I get to heaven and I'm free of this flesh. Why? Because the flesh doesn't let up. Why would we let up then? Why would we ever just give ourselves an opportunity to enjoy our flesh? Why would we do that? Because the flesh isn't going to, the flesh, any chance it gets to strangle you, it will. Oh, how many people, how many have gone out of the ministry? How many have gone away from church? How many have gotten out of serving God because they gave a little room to the flesh. Folks, we need to be vigilant. Amen. We need to be sober, be vigilant. Our adversary, the devil, he's out there. He's after us. Real quick, 2 Peter 2, verse 1. 2 Peter 2 and verse 1. I have several verses I want to show you. 2 Peter 2 and verse 1. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Those are adversaries. That is against the things of God. It's out there. 1 John 2, verse 22. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 22. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. He is what? Antichrist, the Bible says. So someone who denies that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, someone who denies that he is that, oh, he's just a good person. Oh, he's just a good man. Oh, he was a good teacher. He was, and they say anything but he's God. Why would we even talk to him other than to give him a gospel tract and say, hey, you need to read this so you can know how to go to heaven? And yet all over our world, religions are wanting to join together. Do you know there's a one world religion during the tribulation? When saved people are gone, who you suppose is running that one world religion? Well, the saved people are gone. I'll tell you something. There are forces out there that are out to ruin us, and if we don't recognize the enemy by knowing the truth, that's how you know, by knowing the truth. It's just like counterfeit money. You know, a banker, anybody who handles a lot of money, the thing they do to spot a counterfeit is they don't look at all the counterfeits. They handle the real thing. They touch it. They look at it. They spend hours with it. They make sure they know what the real thing looks like so they can spot the counterfeit. We need God's people walking with God. We need God's people in the Word of God. We need God's people to, you know, it's like Paul was saying to our choir, saying when you sing, pay attention to what you're singing. Amen. You know, we were talking about a rest in the song, and he said, do you know why we rest here? Because of what the words say. And boy, what good preaching. I think I said preach it, because it is. Because the writer said, put a rest there so everybody gets it. This is the truth right here. You know, and we have got to train vigorously because there's a war. It is a war. 1 John 4, verse 1. It goes on, it says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Put them on trial. Put that spirit on trial. Compare it with the Word of God, line upon line, precept upon precept. Hear a little. There a little. Put it on trial. You say, yeah, but I happen to kind of like that spirit. Doesn't matter. Put it on trial with the Word of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Try the spirit. Galatians 1, verse 8. Galatians 1, verse 8. Says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. He said, if I do, if an angel does, if anyone preaches any other gospel, any other way of getting saved, any other gospel, good news, let him be cursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. Verse 9. Somebody says, well, you have to speak in tongues to be saved. You know better than that. Well, you have to do this or do that in order to be saved. You have to call upon Jesus in order to be saved, period. and that's all. I'm just saying, in this world today, you know, I'm not mad at Channel 40, but I'm amazed at how many people start believing all the junk on it. I'd take I Love Lucy over a lot of the religious programming on Channel 40. Desi says a whole lot more religious things that are true than some of the other folks. Hello? I'm talking about Andy Mayberry. I mean, seriously, Opie says more deep spiritual truth than a lot of the religious shows. All right, go ahead, get quiet on me. I'm just telling you, that's the truth. If we don't recognize the adversary, I mean, you say, preacher, is this in your notes? It's nowhere near my notes. That's when I always get in trouble. But I'm going to tell you something. All these guys letting Joyce Meyer teach them, you know better. They should know better. Well, but my wife, yeah, I know, you've let your wife teach you, now you're letting her teach you. Be a man. Amen. I'm not saying she's the adversary, I'm just saying that anything that is against the Word of God, that's the key right there. Amen. And you know, we need to keep the adversaries what they are. They can't just put on a different uniform and all of a sudden be friends. Not as long as they keep saying that which is adverse to the Scripture. We need to understand that this, you know, right now we got our eyes on the Muslims. Oh, you know, those Muslims. And if you got a bulletin, you saw what I think about the Muslims. I mean, I'm telling you, it is dangerous. It is so dangerous. But I'm not going to just look at the Muslims and take my eyes off the Catholics. Well, what if they start pointing out the Muslims? Well, what if they keep telling everybody that when you take the bread, it's the body of Jesus, and that you have to keep the sacraments in order to be saved? Who's more dangerous, them or the Muslims? Anything that's false is dangerous. And then all of a sudden, we start to embrace the Mormons, like somehow they're somebody great. Well, they're nice people, and I'm not mad at them as far as being people, but I'm not going to believe their false doctrine. The adversaries. But that's not even, you know, the devil is after us. And he's after us. And number one, the attitude. Number two, the adversaries. Number three is the allies. The commander is Jesus. Thank God for him. Thank God for our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God that he's given us the orders. And he's made it very clear in Scripture. And he's told us to come together and assemble together. And he's given us an under-shepherd. He's the shepherd, but he's given us an under-shepherd. And he's given us workers. And he's given us people in the church. And thank God that he's given us homes. And he's told us how to operate, how to run our home, and he's instituted the husband as the head of the home, and the wife, and the children, and he's given us homes, and thank God for homes. But boy, you talk about an attack today on our homes. We just kind of watch and say, well, we don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to offend anybody either, but if the truth offends, I'm going to tell the truth. And if the truth offends, we need to preach the truth. And I'm telling you, folks, we need, God's people need to be around God's people, because iron sharpeneth iron, and we need to be around solid Christians. You know, it amazes me how we and a lot of this stuff we like to watch on TV, and it makes us feel good because we think, well, we're better Christians than they are. Iron sharpeneth iron. And allies, we need to do things consistent with our side, our allies. And we need to keep the allies as our allies. Leaders give the command based on everything. The leader knows and our Lord gives the orders. And it's not up to us to understand. It's not up to us to try. Can you imagine the private saying to the lieutenant, sir, I really don't understand that order. Can you imagine him saying that to his drill sergeant? Well, we saw a drill sergeant last week. You wouldn't say anything to him. Oh, Sergeant Slaughter, he was tough, wasn't he? He scared me. But I'll tell you what, you know, and we all say, yes, I know that. Why do we question God? You know? Can you imagine? Sarge, I can't make it to battle today. It is of the utmost importance this week that we're everywhere we're supposed to be. It's important that every week we're where we're supposed to be. We're in our Sunday school class. We're teaching. We're doing whatever we're supposed to do. It's important that we assemble together. Do you understand that not to forsake the assembling? It's so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's for each other. It's to help each other. It's to encourage one another. We need each other. We need to watch out. Number four is the action. Attitude, adversary, allies, the action. The action. The Bible says we're to war a good warfare. 1 Timothy 1, verses 18 to 20, it talks about that. In our text, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5, our action, our warfare, it is not carnal, it is not flesh. It is a spiritual battle. It is prayer, it is Bible, it is faithfulness to church, it's at the altar, it is war. What's the altar call? One of the greatest wars that takes place in Berean Baptist Church is the altar call. I mean, I'm serious. It's one of the biggest wars that takes place. I know. I remember clearly before I got saved. Altar call was the worst time of the service for me. I liked the singing. I didn't even mind the offering being passed. It didn't bother me. The preaching was okay because I could always read the songbook. But then came the altar call. And it never failed when the preacher preached the word of God. And then he gave the altar call. It never failed that my heart started to race. Beads of perspiration broke out on my brow. And all of a sudden I started to tremble because I knew I was lost. But it didn't end once I got saved, because the altar call over and over, starting in our church in Marion, Indiana, and then at Bible College, over and over and over again. Didn't matter what the preacher preached. Didn't matter what the choir sang. Didn't matter what the quartet sang. What mattered was the Holy Spirit of God ringing me out and convicting me. And it was always a war. It was a war. It was a war when the preacher said, you got to get your hair cut. War broke out. You know? It was a war when God said, I want you to go to Bible college. And it was a war in my wife's life. Oh, honey, you can go to Marion College here in town. That'd be wonderful. Wesleyan College. I'd be lost now and saved and lost and saved. And anyway, but, you know, it was war. It was war. When we put our house up for sale and people at church said, hey, is your house for sale? And my wife would say, no, no. No, it's just, you know, it's war. It was war when we had to sell her brand new car to go to Bible college. It was war when we had to sell my Kawasaki to buy my first semester worth of books. You'd thought it would have been worth more than that, but books are expensive. Got my first Thompson Chain Reference Bible, too, when I sold my Kawasaki. But it's war. That's what I'm talking about. It's war. It's war. First time going soul winning. It's war. And it's war the second time, and the third time, and the fourth time. It's always war. It's war. It's war. Vacation Bible School. It's war. You think you're the one that fights the war. It's war. It's war. You know, there's always that pull. Just back down. Back it down some. You're getting old. You know, and all I have to do is look in the mirror, and that's true. You know, but it's war. It's war for the Baileys. Understand. How many years they've run the bus route? Shirley says to me several weeks ago, she said, Pastor, I don't think Jim and I are going to need two buses this year. Our attendance is way down, and we just aren't going to have time to visit like we always do, and we just can't do what we usually do. And she said all those things. And I inside, I'm just kind of thinking, okay, all right, I understand, Shreds, you know, yeah, yeah. And what was it the other day? Pastor, we're going to need two buses. We have 70-some kids already signed up. It's war. It's just a war, you know? And you got to understand, there are casualties when there's war. Folks get wounded. Things happen. That's why we have to lift up and encourage our brethren and provide an atmosphere of victory. You know, I thank God. Brother Nordman was here this morning. He said, man, he said, you had such a good spirit. And I'm thinking, yeah, for a bunch of tired folks, I guess it was. But victory, victory. If you ever watch the return of the troops after World War II, it's an exciting, some of the documentaries in that. Boy, you know, it doesn't look like they're tired, but you know they are. They've been fighting war. But when there's victory, 257, is that right, Brother Chase?
Yes, sir.
257 saved at the fair.
Amen.
Man, oh man. You know, that's exciting. But it's war. That was war. Was it war, Brother Chase?
Yes, sir.
Oh, was it ever war? The action. Well, here's your choices, and I'm done after this. You could surrender. How many Christians surrender? Get out that white flag. I surrender. I give up. I quit. I'm done. You lose when you surrender. You do know that, don't you? Anyone who surrenders, you lose. That's just how it is. You lose. You could, instead of surrender, you could just kind of hunker down and defend. What's that mean? That means exist as a Christian. Just kind of hunker down. I'm, you know, the older I get, the easier it seems it would be just to just kind of do that. But that isn't what God told us to do. God tells us to charge. God uses terms like the gates of hell shall not prevail. Well, gates don't attack. We attack the gates. And that's where we find the fight, the good fight of faith. You know what? You should be attacking every stronghold in your life, every weakness, every temptation, every sin, everything that doth so easily beset you, every weight, you should be attacking it right now. Day into every service, God help me with this. God help me with my prayer time. God help me with my Bible reading. God help me to be more consistent with my tithing. God help me to be more faithful to church. God help me to be a better soul winner. God help me to give out tracts every opportunity I get. You see what I'm saying? Everything, any weakness, God help me not to use that language. God help me not to get angry so easy. God help me with this bitterness. God help me with over and over. It amazes me sometimes when an altar call is given and so few come. And I think, are we not asking God to do something in our lives? Not that the altar call means everything, but it must mean something. Attack. Fight the good fight of faith. And it's an attack where I say, you know what? I want to attack the gates of hell. I understand. It's dangerous there. Where the gates are, that's dangerous. By the way, that's exactly how David had Joab kill Uriah. Where did he put him? He put him at the forefront of the hottest battle. Where was that? That was at the gates. That's the gates. That's where, if you ever watch the old knights in shining armor and all that kind of stuff, that's where they had the boiling oil right there at the gates. And you're getting ready to attack the gates and they pour boiling oil on you. That's not a convenient thing. That's where the archers are all aiming. Why? Because those gates are vulnerable. The gates of hell, you have to understand, that's why Satan fights. That's why churches like Berean Baptist Church, we're going to be under the gun as long as we are soul winning. We have a great big bullseye on us as long as we run our buses, as long as we tell people about Jesus, as long as we make it a big deal to win souls to Jesus Christ, and as long as we make it a big deal to fight the good fight of faith. It didn't shock me when somebody got a little bent out of shape over the banner, because that is what our battle is. It is a good fight of faith. And I'm going to stand for the faith, as Jude talked about, you know, in the last days, That's what we have to do, is we have to stand. And I trust that you'll understand our warfare. It's terminology God used. I didn't create it. God used it. And it is a battle, a spiritual battle, that can be won as you get on your knees, as you read your Bible, as you pray, as you walk with God, as you say, yes, sir, and do what he says, and we can win our warfare. Let's bow our heads, please.